You're listening to Between Two Bridges, a business-to-business podcast. With your hosts, Anthony R. Destiny, Joe Ferriani, and Jerry Kenna. Interviewing entrepreneurs, business operators, and investors. This episode of Between Two Bridges is sponsored by Paymark Payroll. Payday is the most important day to your most important people, and payday is made easy at www.payyourpeople.com.
Alrighty, we're here with the bridge episode for March, wrapping up the guests we had on. Very successful, interesting guests, I will say. Very different avenues, different states. We went outside of Pittsburgh finally, but we had Amanda from the glassware company. Gina sewing hats out in Montana, and then Mitch advertising with the billboards. So three different businesses, certainly some things to relate to there. Our first starving artist, if you will.
Well, you're not allowed to use that term.
Right.
She put that
at her place. Put that to bed. But very cool she didn't sell out to Amazon. I think that was something I took away from that episode. Maybe she goes that route at some point, but still had the artistic integrity, if you will. Wanted to keep her stamp on that. But what do you guys think about that one?
I thought it was interesting. Sorry, Joe. I thought it was interesting to see how she is bridging the gap between artist and business owner. And not only that, but she's staying true to her roots as an artist and creating a platform or a system for her employees that are also aspiring artists to not only grow as an artist and be able to, you know, adjust and adapt and grow as an artist, but also learn from her on how to actually become a business as well as an artist, which I think is kind of rare in that space.
Yeah, we talked about it with her, and you've talked about some of your clients, and to be that close to someone that's actually figured that out, because I'm sure there's a community of people out there that need to hear that from people. Because like in my business, you can drive past the dry cleaners and there's successful ones all over the place. And like in there's accounting firms and there's contractors, but in that avenue of work, you know, there's makers, but there's not artists that are painting, that are making a living like she is.
Yeah. See, t-shirt companies maybe would be something that comes to mind.
But digital print and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all artists. I don't want to take anything away from them. I mean, we were trying to line up a guy that does, he has a print shop, and what he does is like art, because he does all the reprints for artists, and you got to be true to that. But yeah, she's made a way to like, and she's very confident, you know, which is not another attribute that comes with people that are in artists. Yeah. Very open-spoken, well-spoken. So it was cool. I
think it's more common to see a business owner with an artistic background that's somebody that knows it, understands it, has a passion for it, but has a business. And because they have some artistic abilities, they're able to use it in their business. She's kind of the opposite almost, where she is an artist with business attributes and with a good understanding of economics and scale and how to expand the business, how to, you know, actually be a successful entrepreneur business owner as an artist instead of being a business owner with an artistic background.
Right. It's something that's been consistent with all of our guests, people that we seek out, is like they have the guts, the wherewithal, and the know-how to do what they're about to do, even if there's not a playbook in place. You know, I mean, because like we could talk a lot about Amanda because it was a lot of information, but and I guess I always am the guy that jumps ahead to the next guest because I start thinking about him. But like our next guest is killing it, selling cowboy hats in Montana, and she grew up on 4th Street in Oakmont.
They're both they both actually went into it with without a plan, but then as Greg said, I think he said on air, Greg Sachs and Gina's dad, that sometimes that is the plan.
Yeah, right.
You know, right?
And right.
Gina moved to Montana with some money that she knew that she had some time.
Right.
She had a cushion. I'll figure it out. And Amanda started doing the glassware, if you remember, selling them from behind the bar at a bar she was bartending.
Right.
And
shout
then
out,
when she got
Springfield
back,
Inn.
Yeah. And then when she got back from art school, it was like, what about those glasses? That seemed to be popular. Why don't we try that?
You right.
know? And then she started doing that. And so it was almost, they both kind of went into it like, let's just try this and see. And didn't really have a business plan. Didn't have a, just like, we're just going to, let's try this.
Right.
And both of them are doing very well.
It's funny because she said she started doing the glasses because she was broke.
Yeah.
And she wanted to be a good gift giver. And now she's helped probably 100,000 people become good gift givers. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially guys that are like, I don't know what to get our wives. And she's like, women gotcha. Love these.
Yeah. And then like these glasses here, like Father's
awesome.
Day. Yeah. Father's yeah. Day rolls around. Sarah, if you're listening, I wouldn't mind having some glassware like that at the
Custom.
House. Yeah. They're pretty slick.
No, but I guess they got, I mean, we know Gina wanted to marry a cowboy. So maybe that played into it a little bit, but where they got the inspiration to do this stuff, you know, if you're not thinking that way, you'll just brush by it. Probably.
Right.
You know, they would have never taken that leap. So it's knowing what you're good at and then having the guts to kind of chase it a little bit.
Chasing that passion. But sometimes a business, I mean, it just shows you that sometimes a business isn't something that you think about and then analyze and then come up with a business plan and then you know, do all this stuff. Sometimes it's like, hey, let's try this and see if people buy it. And then learning to adapt and trying to work it, you know, and both of them have done that and learned the industry that they're in it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of businesses that were left at on a table at a consultant's office because they thought, oh, well, you're never going to make any money at this.
Yeah.
But like, if I think you're better off just going for it.
Sometimes.
You know, you pay all these fees and they run all this data and they're like, well, it's not going to work out. But it's like, you don't know. You know, you built your business off of relationships with clients.
I mean, honestly, you're right. I mean, if as an accountant, if somebody were to come into my office and say, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to paint on these glasses and I'm going to rent out a 9,000 square foot showroom
in Oakmont.
Yeah. And I'm going to paint these glasses and sell them. I'd have been like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work.
You're not investing in that.
But, and granted, she started out
making
a much smaller
space. A couple bucks a glass, maybe.
Yeah. And she grew into that space, but she's turned something that you're right. A business coach, a business consultant would have probably been like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if that you can make enough money. And, you know, from my background in finance, one of the things that we always talk about is scale. You know, even if this is successful, how many of these glasses can you make?
Yeah.
And how much money can you make on each one? And can you hire somebody to do what you do? And, you know, can you scale this? Is this ever going to be a multi-million dollar enterprise? And I think that Amanda has taken an idea that, I mean, honestly, most business consultants would have been like, I don't know if that's going to work. And she fucking did it.
Yeah.
She's killing it.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of consultants would have been like, yeah, live in a wind, air, what is it, an Airstream.
Airstream.
And
make cowboy
make
hats.
Beaver hats.
And let's move into the, you know what? Let's move into the bed of the truck.
Yeah, even better. So we can rent the house. Yeah.
What, the bumper dumper, right?
The bumper dumper.
The bumper dumper.
Forget about the bumper dumper.
That's could you imagine? I mean, let's just look at the fact that, like, we have some people, and I'm not going to say women because there are plenty of men that are way more high maintenance than Gina Kofer. But there are not many people, let alone wives, that would be like, hey, I have an idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's live in the bed of a truck for 3 months so that we can rent our house out.
Yeah, I guess part of that episode, and I'm sure it'll get some laughs out there, was whenever we were like halfway through and I realized that like, is not a significant part of my life, but there was a window in my life where I used to hang out with them. Like, we would party on the weekends. I think I'm like 4 or 5 years older than her.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to give it up, man. So I went and hung out with the younger kids.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, these hats go from 600 to.
I think she said up to like 11.
Yeah, these pre-made ones go up to 860, but you can go custom.
Custom, yeah.
Very well done website. From an Airstream in middle Montana.
Well, they have a house now.
They have a house.
They have a house.
And I'm not going to give any details, but me and Gina Kofer, I keep calling her Gina Saxon. Right. My whole life, she's been Gina Saxon.
Right.
Might be having a little side hustle ourselves. We might be going into business together. So
yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We might have a new sponsor.
How do I get my business on here? How do we sponsor this?
How do we get people on the show?
So you want a sponsor, you just have to reach out.
Yeah. What else about Montana did we take away? I think it's scaling again, right? So yeah. Amanda has what I would consider a difficult decision to make in terms of the integrity of doing every glass herself, or, for lack of a better word, selling out to Amazon.
And well, going I don't think she'll do that.
For the money.
I mean, she's adamant about.
Yeah.
She built that incubator space for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she like really looks forward to having the younger people there, like teaching them.
Yeah.
And then allowing them. Like when I was there, the one girl she sews furry costumes. And like, what a boss to let you do that out of her business that she's paying rent.
Tell us more, Joey.
I didn't order one. Okay. Nothing wrong with furries. I clean a couple of them yearly. And
do you really?
Yeah. I've done some emergency calls during the furry fest here in Pittsburgh.
Oh my God, I don't want to know.
Anyway,
so if you need your furry or your costume cleaned, but I've done Kennedy the Kangaroo.
She has scaled to the point where she's not making all the glasses herself. I think she mentioned she still makes the Pittsburgh glasses herself.
Mm-hmm.
But she does have her employees that do produce other ones for her. So she has learned to scale. And she's not making all of them, and she couldn't make them all at this point. Yeah, we mute our phones here. Yeah,
it's tax season, bro.
What's your excuse?
Roll number 72.
So she has scaled and has employees that are helping produce, because I don't think she could possibly do the number of glasses that she needs to do in a day, which is good. And you also, you know, we talk about it all the time. Do you really want to own a job, or do you want to own a business?
Right. Yeah. She was our first guest that actually said what we all try to do. And she's working a plan, not to work in your business, but work on your business.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's like her goal right now. But you read that in every business book you ever read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you're looking for a motivation that, or they want to sell a book, they're going to put that on the front of it, because every business owner wants that.
But I'll tell you what, man, it's probably the hardest part of owning a business.
Yeah.
You know, you can, if you have a passion, you provide a service or provide a product that you're passionate about and it sells, you can get sales, you can make money, but you're going to hit a ceiling because you can only do so much.
Right.
And it's in every business. I mean, in your business, in my business, you have to learn to delegate responsibility, to hire people under you, and to take a step back and work on developing the business instead of working in it and just churning out work.
I think what I took away from that, and this isn't directly related to her, but as I was leaving here and thinking throughout the last couple weeks here, I realized in my personal business, we talked about in that episode that like you can do it. It can be done. People will do it all the time. But to me, I scaled it to a point for me. And now I think I need to tear it down a little bit, scale it down, step away then, and then scale it from a distance. But like if you scale it with you, if you could hire you, you'd do it in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But you can't afford to pay you.
and even if you could, nobody that is an employee is going to care as much about your business as you do.
Right.
And yeah, it's rare. And you know, I think we've had a couple guests that have some rock star employees, and I have some rock star employees, and I love them and couldn't be where I am without them. So, you know, when they listen to this, don't misconstrue it. But
ditto.
at the end of the night, whenever I'm still at 11 o'clock at night laying in bed worrying about, I need to get this done, I need to call this person, I need to get caught up with that, I would be shocked if my employees are also laying in bed worrying as well, because they've punched out. It's done. You know what I mean? They're might be worried, maybe thinking about what they have to do tomorrow, but they're not in the constant state of panic like a business owner is, where it's like, if I don't get my shit together tomorrow, you know, what could happen? And am I going to make payroll? And are sales going to be as good this year? And is there going to be enough money and all this kind of stuff? That's what we worry about. Our employees don't ever think about that.
Yeah, relatable to that. Today, I'm registering my son for kindergarten. And they give you the list of stuff for to approve your residency, you know, and it's like a couple things. And I'm like, all right, well, the easiest one for me is going to be grab pay stub. You know, I'll just print the pay stub and you're good, you know?
Uh-oh.
Well,
do we still have your old address on your pay stub?
No, it's good. The address is right. But it's comes to me in a PDF, so it's all 11. And I wanted to send it to my wife digital. I can't figure it out. I've got a million things going on. And I'm like, this is where... It's the simple things. Like if I work for somebody, I call HR. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I need you to email me over my last pay stub. Someone sits down at a desk, they drink their coffee and they send it over. But as the owner, I'm putting out 9 fires. And the most important thing, even though my business is very important, is getting this kid registered for kindergarten.
Right.
And I'm like, man, this is the part that people fail to see.
You could have emailed us. You could have emailed Jenna D.
I know I could.
She would have emailed you a pay stub.
I felt like I could handle it. I was getting pissed off myself that I couldn't just get it done. And then I went on Duquesne Light. And since I get an electronic bill, my address line on the bill for Duquesne Light was my email.
What? Really?
And I'm like, well, that's fucked. And then I called
your service address? Isn't it listed?
No, just the meter number. And they're like, yeah, well, on page 3, it's at the top, but it doesn't give you the city and the zip. And I'm like, this could be 123 Schoolhouse Lane anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't just send in a license?
Yeah, that's part of it. They give you a whole list. But I think it's funny because I sit on the site advisory board for the school. My wife's there once a week for the PTO. And then and I'm like, can't we just get like a waiver here? Like, right. My daughter's already in school there.
Yeah, you already know us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we had to do the same thing for my daughter.
It's protocol.
My son's 4 years into school. And we live across the street.
Right there. That's
and when I got...
And you went to school there.
I went to school there. And I actually... when my son... It's a funny story. My son was in kindergarten. My wife couldn't pick him up the one day. I had to pick him up. And then I'm at work. And at 3:07, I got a call from a client. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, we're here with Vinny. And I'm like, oh my God. So I jump in my truck and I'm running up, flying up the hill, and I turn left on 9th Street the wrong way, pulled up right to the curb. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just lost track of time. And the teacher's like, no problem. We're here. This is one way. You're going the wrong way. And I'm like, I know. I live right there. She's like, I know. You can't come this way. And then, so I got a talking to from the teacher. The next day, I got a call from the principal. And he's like, I understand we had an issue.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, yeah, I lost track of time. He's like, no. You went the wrong way down 9th Street. I'm like, what? Yeah.
He's calling you
out. I said, yeah, called me out. I'm like, what? Well, I live right there. I'm aware. And he's like, yeah, I know where you live.
That
and
makes I'm it like, worse, dude.
Like, why, are we talking right now?
Yeah.
Then the next day, every kid in the elementary school went
got
home
a letter.
With a purple piece of paper that reminder don't to parents, 9th Street is one way. My wife's like, look what you did.
Yeah. You should have rebutted with what, right. Well, it hasn't always been one way.
It has not.
So I guess,
and
I
then
mean,
Gina. So again, a scaling thing too. How many hats can they make a month? Are they going to pour their heart and soul into that? How do they... Because you can't, from what I understood, you can't just go hire people to do that. It's very specialized talent.
He's skilled. Her husband learned a skill set there. And yeah. We talked, I think it might not have made it air, but we talked before about there's like lack of beaver pelts. There's all kind of variables in that business.
Yeah.
She does a little bit of art. Like I noticed she does earrings and stuff on her website.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out. I think that's what I take most from Gina and her father, was like, they have a will do, I'll figure it out
yeah.
mindset.
And sometimes that's the plan.
Yeah, the plan is no plan. No plan. So that takes us to Mitch. Folks, speaking of Oakmont and growing up there, he said he started his career in Oakmont and then moved to Verona.
Mm.
So, sorry, similar, V-Town.
Similar path.
But his start to his business was like kind of not necessarily out of necessity, but like he had...
Mitch?
Yeah, no, but he had the thing where he was going to do some advertising for his dad's other business, right? Yep. And then he found the business. Like,
yeah.
Out of
inspiration. And
yeah,
he was driving an ambulance and saw a phone number. But
and his was kind of the opposite, where he found the business and was like, this is interesting. And then went into research mode, right?
Yeah.
So he went into it with a plan.
Right.
Where, hey, if we do this, we could do that. We could sell this. And he started. Now, he still had a lot to learn when he started. I know he realized, like, oh, I have to go to, like, municipal meetings.
Yeah, I think he's still learning a lot, too.
Yeah, well, that never stops.
Yeah.
Especially dealing with local government, because you're dealing with personalities. But
isn't that the truth?
Yeah. But, you know, that it's a whole different thing, where he actually went into it with a plan.
Yeah. And that's a trait that you have to have, I think, to start from scratch, too, is the ability to just absorb information.
Yeah, then he's on a hillside with a jackhammer trying to figure it out.
I liked it because the guy was like, well, we can just call it in. You don't have to go to that depth. If that's all, the further you can get after 4 days of probably just like...
Yeah, we're probably good.
Right. Yeah. So that goes back to the wherewithal to get through the startup, because like... I mean, I knew Mitch at that age, and I know me at that age. He wasn't very old, and, like, he wasn't savvy at all.
Yeah.
You know, he could have easily been like, dude, you fucked up my hair. Throwing this jackhammer done. We're throwing in the towel.
Well, it's like what the ice cream people said at the very – when he was
saying – Oh, yeah, we didn't think he was going to fucking make it. We thought
this was your first and last billboard. Like, look at these guys. What are they doing?
Right.
I think we've all been there at the beginning, you know, and it's
–
you know, the further up the ladder you go, the more your ass hangs out. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a hard time with my customers at the beginning, because even though I'd had 15 years of dry cleaning experience, they didn't know me.
Right.
So when I went in there, a lot of the feedback the old owner got was like, what's this kid know about fucking dry cleaning? And it took about 6 months. And now people are like, holy shit, my stuff's better.
Yeah.
But it takes time in business, you know?
It does. We still deal with that. And I have clients that they'll call here. I want to talk to you because I don't know if.
Yeah.
Do they know what they're doing? Well, I wouldn't have hired them if they didn't know what they were doing. Like, they're aware. They're good. You know? But, yeah.
Do you have any real bad fuck-ups at the beginning when you were like, oh, I'm out of business?
When I first started?
Do you have any jackhammers into the rock story?
For sure. When I first started, I started doing taxes right out of college. So it was 07, 08. I incorporated the Landmark at in 2010, went full time in 2012. So by then I was pretty well into it. But when I first started 07, 08, there were some returns that I did that I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing here. And there was one in particular, the guy, he had a household employee, and I was like, yeah, I can do this. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. So I'm like trying to research, like, how do I do this? And and then when I met another preparer. Yeah, I was Ask Jeeves back then, yeah. I met another preparer and I started working with him. I ended up buying out his business years later. But
nice.
He told me, he's like, Jerry, when I first started, there's returns that I filed those first couple of years I can't believe went through. And I'm like, well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, he probably didn't even have the internet to do any. Like,
he was doing shit by paper.
Pen and paper.
Yeah, back then. But... oh, yeah, man. Those first couple of years, and I'm just trying to figure it out, like buying tax software, and like, I think this is going to work. And dude, I remember the first time I e-filed a tax return, and I'm like, is that it? Like, you're filed. Just let me know when you get your refund.
Yeah.
You got it? Okay. Fuck, that worked.
Yeah, now Mitch is really, I watch from afar, he's really involved in networking. He hasn't sat still and just let the money roll in. He's out. He's out networking, he's grinding, he's doing different events. We kind of talked about on air about getting involved in some of those events personally and for this and for our businesses, because that's one thing I lack. I mean,
me too.
I don't network. I mean, I do a lot of networking for my front counter, but I'm retaining instead of expanding.
Right. Yeah, and I have my business has grown almost exclusively word of mouth, a lot from Facebook, but not really Facebook ads. I've tried a little bit of Facebook ads in my business, and I just waste money. but I have a lot of Facebook, but a lot of my success with Facebook marketing, not ads, but marketing through social media, has been more. Do you ever hear? You know, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah,
Gary V. He has a book called Jab, 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 Right Hook. Mm-hmm. And the whole mentality of that is that don't just go in for the right hook. The right hook's a sales pitch, right? Don't just go in with the right hook. Go in with jabs first. And it's all about providing value. So I'm currently a moderator for a Pittsburgh real estate investment group on Facebook that's got tens of thousands of people in it. And I'm very popular within that group. If somebody posts, I'm looking for an accountant with real estate background, it's like almost comical that like 80% of the people are like, call Jerry. But the reason why is for years, I would go on that page. I wasn't a moderator at the time. I was just joined. And yeah. I would go on there and people would post a question like, hey, I'm thinking about buying a vehicle. You know, what's the best way to do this for my business? And I would just answer it. And I would, and I'd see it started out not even with because of the Gary V's mentality. I did it kind of accidentally because I would read all these other people's responses, and they were getting responses from other investors and other business owners that really just knew enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, their accountants were motherfucking them at the end of the year.
Yeah. So I would go on and be like, listen, some of this is true. Some of this is completely false. Here's what you need to know. And I would put on there, not charging, just putting on the truth and right. just helping people. And then that steamrolled into all of a sudden, those people were calling me like, hey, my accountant couldn't explain that to me. Can you be my accountant now? And so I've got a ton of business off of that group. Now I'm a moderator on that group. It's become a big part of my business, and real estate investing has become a big part of my business because of that. Plus also because I'm also a real estate investor. So for a real estate investor to look for an accountant that's not only an accountant, but he's also an investor. So he's living the life.
Right.
It's just gives you a little bit more credibility, but, that's where I've gotten a lot of my business as far as marketing goes. Other than that, it's all been word of mouth, but you know, I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Going to these events would be very beneficial.
Yeah. And I think he'll be a good person to kind of steer us in the right direction. He's involved with a lot of that. I mean, he's involved locally. He's involved throughout the Pittsburgh area. And that business, you have to keep putting yourself out there.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he talked about, you know, how a lot of these bigger companies are charging, you know, X, and they came in a little lower.
Yep.
Which is a good tactic, you know.
It is. It is.
Lamar has a lot of mouths to feed.
They do.
I don't know what their CEO is making, but it's not $27.50 an hour.
No.
And every one of those billboards has to go into those coffers.
Yeah.
So I've always thought that personally, like, you know, you see these businesses, we talked about like a consultant firm coming in saying, well, you're only going to make $80,000 a year. Okay, well, if I can do that four times over, I'm fine with, you know, $250,000 a year and kind of passive income. But they look at it like you need to make $75 million a year. You got to hire a CEO, a CMO. You got to have all these things. And I'm not built for that life. I wouldn't be happy in that role.
I would.
You want to be a CEO someday? Big wig?
I mean, I don't want to be like removed from the day-to-day to the point where I don't know anything that's going on. But I like the idea of being, I would like to get to a point where I'm not doing any of the day-to-day stuff. I'm just
in your business currently.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us or any three of us have a business that we can scale to a point where we're on the Forbes 500. I mean,
probably not.
There might be a couple accounting firms out there that are on the 500.
Yeah, I mean, there are the big four. Yeah, there's some.
Well, but Procter and Gamble does dry cleaning. They have Tide franchises all over the country. And
it's different though.
I mean, yeah.
It's a whole different world. It's a whole different clientele. And
somebody told me one time it's all the same, just different paperwork.
It is, but I don't know. I like the business development stuff. And if you're just, you know, if you're working with some client that's a, you know, $7 billion company, you're just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so far removed from reality. It's right. Kind of like you're actually having like you're five steps above the ladder of the guy that's actually making moves.
I think the best part of the business development side of it for me is watching the people develop around it and the employees and the creating this system and this business that is now in it's impacting all these people,
yeah.
Whether they're employees, whether they're customers, whether they're the owners. Watching all those people grow with the business is the fun part of the business.
Yeah, the soup to nuts. And that's one of the things that I kept asking a lot of questions in Mitch's episode, because of all the businesses I kind of knew a little bit about, like uh-huh. something, but with the billboard business, all I knew is I called one time for a billboard and was like, holy fuck, we can't afford that. We're not doing it, and moved on. You know what I mean? So like, it was a very unique conversation with him. To go through all that.
It may not be, if you were trying to pump up your home delivery business, it may not be a bad opportunity for you.
Yeah, no, and that's something I'll look at further down the road. But when you're doing like for a dry cleaner store, all your businesses come within 15 miles.
Is that right?
Yeah, so like it's hard to promote like on 51 or,
sure.
You know, so.
28,
yeah. I mean.
Doesn't he have one on Route 8? He has one,
right by Shaler. Yeah, Shaler. And that was always a conflict of interest because my family had a store on Route 8, and then I just don't know. I mean, it's definitely, people do it. I mean, a lot of big businesses advertise on billboards for a reason.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it so Mitch can go out and have a couple cocktails.
No.
So he's like in it. He's in it with a lot of different businesses. He's a partner, like kind of in that regime. All right. So.
Well, we have some good episodes coming up. I think April's going to be fun.
Mm.
And
tax time.
It's tax season here. So I think we have a tax.
What happens April 18th for you? Do you just lay on your couch?
No.
You're waiting for IRS calls?
All how the does clients, that go? All my clients that back off during tax season because they're like, you know what?
Give him
I'm
his
not
going
to bother Jerry with this right now because he's so busy. They all call on April 18th.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, I have this 3 months worth of work for you to do that we haven't talked about all year so far.
Like, so you're good through the summer.
Yeah. Plus, we do a lot of business consulting, monthly accounting.
Yeah.
We do a lot of business development stuff. So we stay very busy.
Joe, what's up for April?
It's going to be March is a hell of a month for me. So
yeah.
I turned 40.
Nice.
How's
it feel?
Good, man.
Same.
You know, it's, I think older. Is a number, man.
We're getting a little grayer from when we met in T-ball, right?
Yeah, T-ball, long time ago.
Yeah.
Some of those gray hairs are probably responsible because of you. I don't know. But
yeah.
I think that with my dad passing away at 44, the closer I get to that, the harder it gets for me. It's like, all right, man, hunker down. You need to, like, grow up a little bit. But I know that if you grow up too much, that life's no fun, and I don't want to live a life like that. So we're gonna cut loose.
How old was your mom?
My mom's 60 plus, so she's still alive. So
yeah.
But
work hard, play hard, buddy.
That's what I feel, and you know, I want the memories to be fun ones, and I don't want to be like, well, we're not gonna do this because we got to save money right now. Like it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad, he was living a moment kind of guy, and I'm glad he was. And you know, 40 to me is just another age.
Yeah.
Like you think about it when you're 30 a little bit.
Yeah, you're like
40. Last 10 years fucking flew, I'll tell you that.
Bastards.
So yeah, and I mean, it's like the weeks act like days, the months are years. It's just fast.
Time is fleeting, you know. So yeah. What do you want to do with your life, type of thing?
I'm real excited and we almost got through an episode without mentioning our first guest, but was he the 30s is for learning, 40s is for earning. So I'm hoping that I can make some some money here, you know.
We're so, on record.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here to kind of document the growth personally, because
absolutely.
It's a leap of faith here for me.
Yeah, I mean, you can listen to our episodes from the beginning to now and just the audio is getting better.
Yeah.
And the content, and we're all kind of.
I think we're more comfortable.
We got headphones now.
We can hear each other.
Yeah, that's unique. I still have a hard time with that when you start getting real. Yeah. I wish we would have had him on for the Tesla rants back in the day when you were just fired up. So, yeah, March is a what do they say? March is in like a lion, out like a lamb. Mm-hmm. Is that the one?
It's either or.
Okay.
Are you Irish?
Irish, yeah. St. Patrick's Day.
Jerry, are you Irish?
Quarter.
I hit and miss on St. Patrick's Day. Like, my grandmother's maiden name was O'Connell. So, like, some mornings on St. Patrick's Day, I wake up and I'm like, let's go. It's St. Patrick's Day. But that hasn't happened since kids. But maybe it'll happen this year. Who knows?
Fucking kids.
Will you guys take your kids to the parade downtown?
No.
Yes.
So, March is in the books.
All righty.
All right. Well, let's see what April has for us. And
see if Jerry makes it.
Yeah. More weeks, right?
Couple more weeks, man. You know, it's funny. You slow down a little bit because of tax season, and then I'd ramp up because of the prom seasons and wedding seasons. And
prom.
Yeah. Prom is on the horizon. So.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Another episode in the books, boys.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Between Two Bridges, a business-to-business podcast. Find and follow us on your preferred podcast streaming platform. Like and subscribe, and leave us a rating and review. You can join us socially on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Yes, we still call it Twitter. You can email the show at info@betweentwobridgespodcast.com. Until next time, make it till you rake it.